Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
This is a season of year that especially calls us to worship, to gratitude, and worship of the Lord Jesus Christ changes everything else about your life. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we're going to study Worship 101. Stay with us. Often it is what we worship that drives everything else in our life. What we worship is what consumes our devotion, our affection, our attention. And friend, today on Daily in the Word, we're going to study the subject of worship. Worship 101 is the series. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and the preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We hope you'll join us every Monday through Friday through this season as we discover worship and as we learn more about the Christ of Christmas. You can find out more about Pastor Chappell on his blog at paulchappell.com. Also, you can find out more about Daily in the Word at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. But now we're going to examine God's Word and what it has to say about worshiping through giving. Here's Paul Chappell.
But we do it as believer priests, as an act of worship to a God that is worthy of our worship and sacrifice. So, understanding who you are will affect what you do. And until we see who we are in Christ, we will never do what we're supposed to do for Christ. That's our position as believers. We are believer priests. But notice, secondly, this morning, our presentations in worship. Someone says, all right, Pastor, I understand who I am in Christ. I never saw it like that before, the priesthood of the believer. But I see the Bible clearly says that I have the privilege to worship and serve the Lord as a believer priest. But how do I do it? What can I offer to the God who created this world? What can I offer to the giver of all the gifts that I've ever received? What sacrifices can I give? Well, I want to give you three or four very quickly this morning. And I trust that from your heart, you'll say, Lord, how can I worship you? I trust you'll hear the question of an unsaved Chinese lady, how do you worship your God? I want to give you three or four ways that you can make presentations to a God who loves you. First, we must present ourselves. This is where it begins. We must present ourselves to the Lord. Now, if you'll get this first step, you'll find that all the other aspects of the Christian life begin to flow in pattern. We must present ourselves to the Lord. Has there ever been a time in your life when you realize, you know what, I'm a purchased possession? The Bible says, what, know ye not that ye are bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your spirit and in your body, which are Christ. And the price that was paid for me and for you was nothing less than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I understand that He purchased me at Calvary, then the response is to say, Lord, I surrender my life to You. Look at what it says in Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Someone says, you mean God wants me to surrender my whole life to Him, like what I do and where I go and how I give my time, talent, and treasure, all of that stuff. God wants to have the lordship of my life. You know what it says in verse 1? It is my reasonable service to do that. It is not an unreasonable request for God to say, I want to have the steering wheel of your life. I want you to surrender your life to me. My friend, have you surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, well, I thought only preachers did that. No, that's where you're misunderstanding. All of us are a royal priesthood. All of us are the ministers of Jesus Christ. All of us are serving and worshiping the Lord. This is not like the Old Testament when Aaron the priest was the only one who could go into the Holy of Holies. But because the blood was shed, when Jesus died on the old rugged cross, the temple veil was rent from the top to the bottom. And God said, enter in. You can have fellowship with me. You can present yourself. C.T. Studd, the famous missionary to Africa, said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Very simple, but very true. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. And so we must first present ourselves to him. Notice, secondly, we must present our works to him. You see, when we serve the Lord, whether it's bringing a cup of cold water to someone in need or whether it's helping out around the church, when we present our works to him, it's pleasing to him. Look at what it says in Hebrews 13, 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such, notice, what's the next word say? Sacrifices. God is well pleased. So to do good and to communicate, which speaks of giving, to do good and to communicate, forget not. Now, how many of you are like me? Sometimes you can forget stuff. Any of you ever tie a string to your finger? Sometimes I see college students writing stuff on their hands. Sometimes I see men and women of this church doing similar things. Why? We're forgetful. Sometimes someone may forget and they'll think, well, I thought my wife was writing the tithe. I thought my husband was going to take Joey to church. I thought so-and-so was going to get it done. And God says to do good and to communicate, forget not. God said, I don't want you to forget this. Why? For such sacrifices, with such sacrifices, God is well, what does it say? Now, some might say, well, I'm under grace. I don't have to do a cotton-picking thing, and God loves me. And you're right. God does love you. But how many of you, as you mature in the Lord, say, I'm glad God loves me, but I want to worship him. I want to please God. I think we're here with that in our hearts today. Lord, we want to please you. How many of you wish today that every elected official in America and every professing Christian in America would live every day of their lives wanting to please God? We'd have a great, great nation once again. But let's not worry about all of them out there. Let's just focus it right on our hearts and lives today. Amen? And the Bible says to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. You know, in America today, most people worship their work and play at their worship. Most of the time, we worship our work and we kind of play at our worship. But hey, if all of us are full-time believer priests, if all of us are in the ministry together, then all of us ought to stop and take this matter seriously about presenting ourselves to the Lord and presenting our works to the Lord. And thirdly, as believer priests, we must present our praise to the Lord. Notice what it says in Hebrews 13, 15. By him, therefore, that is Jesus Christ, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Hey, do you look for every opportunity to praise the Lord? Someone says, man, you really solved that problem. I mean, that was quite an analysis and quite a presentation. You know, it's not against the law to say, you know what, I'm just thankful to God for giving me the wisdom on that one. Someone says, that was a beautiful song or a beautiful piece of art. That was a great project. You know, it's a great thing when mature Christians deflect the praise to the Lord. And instead of receiving what is his, we give it to him. And we do that as believer priests because we know we're not worthy. We know that he alone is worthy of praise and honor and glory. And so we present our praise to him. And then fourthly, we can present our giving to him. I want you to notice in our text, back in Philippians chapter 4 for just a moment, notice in verse 15, the Bible says that the church at Philippi communicated concerning giving and receiving with the Apostle Paul. They communicated, verse 16, by sending to his necessities. Lancaster Baptist Church sends offerings monthly to 172 missionaries. Lord willing, in these upcoming months, that number will climb to some 200 families that we want to send to their necessity on a monthly basis. We want to present that, not because we have to, not because it's just the duty of the Christian to do it, but because we love the Lord and we honor Him with sacrifices that are well-pleasing to Him. In fact, verse 18 speaks of this, and it says, this offering was an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. You see, God was pleased. And so we must learn, in the first place, our position as believers. That is, we are believer priests who can worship Him. And secondly, our presentations in worship. We give our praise, our service, we give our giving, we give our whole lives to Him when we are dedicated and when we are yielded. Now then, let's focus it on down this morning, and let's notice finally our practice as givers. Our practice then as givers. If giving to the Lord is an act of worship, how do we do that? And by the way, folks, sometimes your unsaved friends might say, why do you give so much time? Why do you give so much money to that church? It's a good thing to say to them, I don't give it to the church, I give it to the Lord through the church. We give to the Lord. And what is the practice of this matter of giving? Let me say first of all that we either give by reason or by revelation. We will either give by reason or by revelation. Now, reason meaning human rationale, revelation meaning God's infallible word. So we will do what we do in the Christian life based upon our feelings or based upon God's word, one or the other. Now, someone who gives by reason, they're going to find that in the ups and downs of life, their worship in the area of giving is up and down. Because when things are good, there's a little bit. When they're not so good, there's nothing. And how many of you find that in life, there's lots of ups and downs? And it's easy to rationalize. And it's easy to get into that place saying, well, you know, this happened or that happened. And so, you know, well, we're already doing pretty good, you know, several months ago, or we did this one time, or, you know, I help out in a volunteer way, and I painted the church, right? And all of a sudden, those who give by reason find that there's a lot of rationalization going on. And sometimes unexpected things happen. I sat down at the table last night and had some soup with my wife and two of our daughters, and our youngest daughter, Christine, said, Dad, are you in a good mood? I said, I'm always in a good mood. What kind of a question is that? She said, I mean, are you in a really good mood? I said, I'm in a really good mood. What do you need? She said, well, Dad, she said, I got to go get my wisdom teeth pulled out Wednesday. It's going to be $800. I said, honey, I got pliers out in the garage. Let's not get carried away. Some pliers, some Advil. Hey, that'll work. I don't think so. How many of you have those unexpected things come up? And all of a sudden, we can start to reason about giving and rationalize. We're either going to give by reason or we're going to give by revelation. Now, I checked the sign out front this morning and it said church. So let's see what the Bible says about this matter. What does God's revealed word say? And when it comes to the practice of giving, there's two major themes in the Bible. Very quickly, and some of you this will be elementary, but there's the matter of the tithe. The tithe is the Lord's. The Bible says in Malachi 3 in verse 8, these words, and these are strong words, but these are from God. Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, you've heard of the Pepsi challenge. This is the God challenge. God says, I want you to honor me and prove me and see if I don't honor you. I know it's illogical, God says, for you to give me the first part of the blessing that you receive, the first part of your harvest, the first part of your blessing. But He said, I want you to prove me now. Leviticus 27:30, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And so going back even before the Mosaic law to the man, the priest named Melchizedek, we can find this principle of giving the tithe to the Lord. We see it throughout the Old Testament. I heard about a missionary who was teaching tithing to some believers in Africa. One Monday morning after he had preached about it on Sunday, a man came and knocked on his door, and in one hand he had a fishing pole, and in another hand he had a big fish. And the missionary said, "What is this?" He said, "This is my tithe." He said, "Well, where's all the other fish?" He said, "Well, they're still in the river, but I wanted to bring the first one for the Lord." You see, he had understood that principle. The tithe is the Lord's. Every year, Forbes magazine does a list of the world's wealthiest people. According to this year's list, there are 946 billionaires in the world. Not millionaires, billionaires in the world. One of those billionaires, Warren Buffett, last year gave away $44 billion. Other than that one man, the rest of the 945 billionaires averaged in their charitable donations last year 1.2% of their income. Oftentimes, it is those that have the most who give the least. And God said, "I don't want some to be burdened and some to be eased." And so he gave an equality of giving, and it was called the tithe, everyone giving their 10%. Then we come to the New Testament, and we find another term that is also in the Old Testament, but elaborated upon by the Holy Spirit, and that is the term the offering, giving a free will offering above the tithe to the Lord. The offering is found in the Old Testament. When they built the temple, for example, they brought in for the tabernacle and the temple special offerings above their tithe. But in the New Testament, we read about the offering. Matthew 6 and verse 19. "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now let's say verse 21 together. Ready? Begin. "Where your treasure is, there will your..." Now, we started the message by saying it all begins with the heart. I believe one of the reasons God wants us to honor Him in giving is because God wants our heart to stay near to Him. It's not that God is broke, ladies and gentlemen, but God says, "I know this about you. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is." And when you're giving your treasure, your heart is going to be there as well. Heard about a man that brought his family to church, and on the way home, he was complaining about church. And by the way, dads, don't do that. It's a surefire way to ruin your kids. All the way home, he said, "Oh, the music was boring, and the pastor's sermon, and this, that, and the next thing." Man, he's just going on and on. Finally, his son piped up in the back, and he said, "Hey, Dad," he said, "really, you've got to admit, it wasn't a bad show for a dollar." Now, the offering reveals the heart. When someone gives an offering, they're saying, "Lord, from my heart, I love you. From my heart, I worship you. And from my heart, I say, I place great value on you." The offering reveals the heart. And the offering expresses love, you see. Amy Carmichael said, "You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving." Well, you fall in love with someone, you just want to give to them. And when you love the Lord, there's a desire to give to Him. Now, in the New Testament, this kind of giving is called grace giving. It is that giving that is produced by the Holy Spirit working in your heart. No great speech from an orator, no great amount of energy or enthusiasm can cause someone to consistently give decade after decade. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. You see. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8, 7, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment." In other words, he says, don't do this because you have to, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. Here the Apostle Paul says, hey, the reason to give is because you love the Lord. I heard of a man who was on a business trip for a week or two, and He was missing his wife, and on his way home, he thought, you know what, I'm going to get my wife a little gift just to show her how much I love her and how I've missed her. He went into the gift store, and he said to the lady, he said, "Do you have maybe some perfume I'd like to get a gift for my wife?" And so she brought out a bottle of perfume. It was $50 worth of perfume, and the man said, "That's a bit much." And she came out with another bottle. It was $30 this time. He said, that's a bit much. And so, you know, she came back again with a bottle for $15, a little bottle like this, $15, and he said, "You know," he said, "what I mean is I'd like something really cheap." And the clerk handed him a mirror. Now, thank God his wife wasn't there. You see, whether it was the lad who gave the loaves and the fishes, or the widow who gave her coins, the essence of New Testament Christianity has always been giving. It's always been expressing love through giving. And in the Old Testament, giving was always about a percentage. But in the New Testament, giving is all about a proportion. When we have a thanksgiving offering, it is to say, Lord, let me observe the bountiful blessings you have bestowed upon me, and help me, Lord, to give thanks to you as I honor you in this offering. And if you want to boil it down to the regularity of it, notice in your notes there, 1 Corinthians 16:2, upon the first day of the week, that would be Sunday, let every one of you, and in the Greek that means every one of you, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, such as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. In the Old Testament, they had a storehouse. It was called the temple. In the New Testament, it is called the church. And God says, I want you to lay by you in store, such as God hath prospered you. Now, someone might be sitting here thinking, great. Came to this church for the first time, and just like I thought, all they ever talk about is money. That's all they ever talk about. Well, let me just share one thought with you. Let me share this simple principle with you today. The essence of Christianity is giving. John 3:16 explained it to me. And this is why I can share a message like I did today without a whole lot of apprehension. Because many years ago I learned this truth. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And my friend, on April the 5th, 1972, at 4289 Yerba Buena Way in San Jose, California, I knelt my knees down into the carpet and I cried out to the Lord and I said, Lord, I am a sinner and I ask you to come into my heart and forgive my sin and take me to heaven someday. And on that day, God gave to me eternal life. He loved me so much. He forgave my sin. And He gave to me eternal life. And when you experience that, giving back to Him is not a drudgery. It is a joy. It is an act of worship. And if you're here today and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, then disregard everything I said about giving and think for just a moment about one word, and that one word is receiving. And I challenge you today to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and let Him forgive your sin, and let Him give you a home in heaven. I want you to know that when that is settled in your heart, the rest of this stuff starts to make sense. I want you to know that when Jesus Christ is your Savior, there is joy in worshiping and honoring Him. And if you have received Christ as your Savior, but that love relationship has waned a bit, why don't you get a fresh glimpse at the cross today? And why don't you say, you know, I want to give my life to Him. I want to give praise to Him. I want to serve Him. I want to give to Him because He is worthy of my worship and adoration. Father, we thank You for this time and Your word today. And Lord, in an era when many people think praise and worship is about a rock band for a few minutes on Sunday morning, help us to realize that praise and worship is about our lives surrendered to You. May we not merely worship You on Sunday morning, but may we present our bodies a living sacrifice, completely yielded and dedicated to You.
You've been listening to Pastor Paul Chapel on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying worship. We're discovering how to worship thankfully, prayerfully, with a pure heart and a giving, generous spirit. Friend, worship begins at the very moment of the beginning of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you've listened to today's message and you've come to understand you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're religious but lost. Friend, we would encourage you to bow your head and heart and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your Savior. Place 100% of your faith in Him. Trust Him to save you from your sins and to give you His gift of eternal life. That is the very beginning point of a true relationship of worship. You can find out more about this decision and more about the ministry of Paul Chapel and Daily in the Word when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org or when you call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. And you can visit us online and find many resources for your own spiritual growth when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find links to Dr. Chapel's books and other resources. You'll find a complimentary daily devotional that will come to your inbox, your email inbox, every day in the new year. It will help you read through your Bible and walk with the Lord Jesus every day. That's all to be found at dailyintheword.org. Don't forget, you're invited to join Dr. Chapel, our guest speakers, and many Christian friends from around the country for the beautiful Alaska cruise, August 9th through the 16th, 2014. You'll enjoy not only great preaching from the Word of God, you'll enjoy the Christian fellowship, the wonderful music, and the incredible beauty and grandeur of God's creation as seen from on board a wonderful cruise ship through Alaska's Inside Passage. Again, the ship departs August 9th through the 16th, 2014. For more information, visit us at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.